go talk about the upcoming NFL draft later this spring. Also, the NFL playoffs. He follows college football in the NFL for Yahoo.com. Eric Edholm is standing by in the Meyer guest line. Welcome back, E.
How are you? What's going on?
Good. I'll get your thoughts on the playoff games this weekend, but with the Lions picking second, it seems obvious, but you know, you get to workouts, you get to evaluations and favorites. Yeah. Hutchinson or Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, Thibodeau from Oregon, 1-2, no matter what way it goes, Jacksonville-Detroit, whether it's Hutchinson to Jacksonville, then Thibodeau to Detroit. Do you see that breaking off to a third name jumping in there or fourth name?
It could, especially if Jacksonville decides that protecting Trevor Lawrence is more important. And I'll say this, in talking to other teams outside of the, you know, the top two picks, those two players, Hutchinson and Thibodeau, are not 1-2 on every team's boards, or they may not end up that way, right? As you pointed out, we're still, you know, midway through the process here. The season's over. Senior Bowl's next week. That won't have any effect on those guys, but other players can jump up. And I think if somebody does crack the top two picks, it probably won't be a quarterback, even if there's a trade. Obviously, you know, we don't know what Detroit's long-term plans are, but I still don't see one going there. But it probably is an offensive tackle. There are three good ones, and I think two who are above the rest, and Ike Mekwonu from NC State, Evan Neal from Alabama. You know, Kyle Hamilton's a very special safety. I don't know if you take a safety at one or two, that feels a tad high for that position, but it's a year where there isn't a clear-cut number one, and there may not be a clear-cut 2, 3, or 4. It's going to be a sort of taster's choice, if you will, and on which each team thinks is the best option there.
For you and what you've watched this year of college football and film on Thibodeau or Hutchinson, are they worthy of being the first two picks? What do you think?
In a typical year, I would say no, but they're both excellent football players. I want to be clear about that. I mean, you know, we've obviously seen a lot of quarterbacks go in that range in typical, you know, draft cycles, or more often than not, that's not going to happen this year, I don't think. So it just doesn't feel like there's that one quarterback that can vault up there. And the underclassmen in this group, there's some good ones, obviously, but it's a lower number than we've seen in recent years. So I think that did kind of thin out the draft pool just a little bit, plus some injuries and other factors. So I would say that the upper reaches of round one are a little bit lighter than normal. And those guys might normally go in the, you know, 5 to 10 range in a typical draft cycle. Again, those are very good prospects. It just may not be that, you know, that upper level blue chip, you know, once every 3 or 4 year kind of player at number one.
That's why you're going to get into it. If there aren't, because normally when you would say that, you would think, you know, picking first or second, you try and trade down, get value. But if there isn't the clear cut tackle, right, defender or quarterback, teams aren't going to give away the house to move up. And I'm looking at the Lions. They get that first rounder in the Goff Stafford deal based on its slot. Will be determined on how far the Rams go in the playoffs. And I'm just looking from the Lions' perspective, from that two pick to picking between, you know, 28, 32, whatever it is. It's interesting that, you know, Willis, the QB from Liberty's come up. Sam Howell, North Carolina, because they're talking about you get that fifth-year option if you draft a quarterback in the first round. And then you get top side of the second round, which could be the best wide receiver available. And if there is a deep part to this draft, it really does seem at the wideout position, and the Lions need a speed wideout. Your thoughts on the Lions that are likely picks at 2, let's say 28, and second pick in the second round. What would be likable names that you think could go there?
I think either of the pass rushers you mentioned make a lot of sense. You know, they obviously have, you know, spent time out at Oregon and looking at that tape last year with the Penei Sewell pick. And, you know, I'm sure that they'll dip back into that same lot and take a look and try to decide, you know, is Kayvon Thibodeau's sort of burst and athleticism, which might just be a tick better than Aiden Hutchinson's, you know, is that worth more, slightly more versatility? You can drop a little bit and do different things. Or are you just so bent on getting you know, what I would call is like a Dan Campbell guy. I mean, Hutchinson is all out effort all the time, A plus character. You know, people rave about him, and not that they don't about Thibodeau. I just think there are fewer questions in that regard with Hutchinson. Thibodeau's going to probably get some strong character grades from some people. You know, he's just got a little bit more of a laid back personality from what I've been able to gather, and that's fine. That may be great for plenty of other teams. I just think if there's a tiebreaker there, that's one that would make sense. And you name two quarterbacks that make, you know, obviously the ties are obvious. They're coaching Sam Howell from North Carolina at the Senior Bowl. They're coaching Malik Willis from Liberty down there as well. You know, right now, if I had to pick one to start tomorrow, I would say Howell is the more prepared of the two. But he's also a guy who played within an air raid, modified air raid system that, you know, a lot of predetermined reads, a lot of half-field stuff. Malik Willis, to me, is a project, but his upside is fascinating, tantalizing. I mean, he really could be something special, and you could probably find a role for him, you know, almost similar to what the Ravens did with the handoff from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson. You know, Willis and Jackson are different players, but there's some overlap to how they play as well.
You know, I mentioned that wide receiver depth that could be there for the Lions, that will be there no matter where they're picking at the bottom of the first with that first rounder from the Rams or top of the second. And you got guys like Olave from Ohio State, Drake London from USC, Bell from Purdue, Treylon Burks from Arkansas. Man, there's going to be some options there on the bottom of that first round and also top of that second round, because I really think the Lions are missing speed on offense and they need a speed receiver.
Right. And you may say, all right, we're willing to gamble on Jameson Williams from Alabama, suffered a torn ACL in the championship game. Because, look, you know, we don't need him in August. We want to have a player for the next several years. And we're going to pair him with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Hockenson and have a really interesting thing going and DeAndre Swift and whoever else. That's the kind of team that I could easily see taking a risk on somebody like Williams or Jahan Dotson from Penn State, another speed guy, smaller frame, not as special a prospect in my mind. But, yeah, there's all types of receivers in this class. You know, you have the big physical guys like the Treylon Burks who can also run. I mean, he's like a king-size Debo Samuel, if you will. And then you have the Drake Londons who are more long and lean and kind of the vertical 50-50 ball guys. So, yeah, it's another strong receiver class. Maybe not quite as high-end as either of the last two classes with Ja'Marr Chase and Waddle and those guys. Because there isn't that one guy screaming out superstar. There are a lot of guys who have the, you know, enough exciting potential to be good in the NFL.
NFL, you can flip it in a hurry if you're free agency money is spent the right way, and you find a couple of starters topside of your draft, no matter where you're picking. That's how they can do it. I mean, they easily could have been a 5-6 win team this year when you go inside the numbers with the expanded 17 games. I don't think it's crazy to think 9-8. And based on what happens with Rodgers, not only in the playoffs, but the offseason, will he stay in Green Bay? Will he go? Think about this. We talked about it last week on the show. If Rodgers leaves Green Bay, that means, and the cousin, I don't think Cousins is going to be back in Minnesota, and you got Fields, who will be a second-year QB with the Bears, who will have a new coach in Minnesota. Yeah. You're going to get Dan Campbell as the second-longest tenured coach starting year two, and if Rodgers leaves, you start to think that the NFC North is completely wide open.
I mean, I would still say that Green Bay has got an excellent roster, but all those points you made are absolutely right. Two first-year head coaches. You know, we don't know what the situation in Minnesota is going to be. Is it going to be a teardown? Are they going to, you know, look to move Cousins? Yeah, if Rodgers is back, right, that question's answered. They're going to be the favorites again. And there's been more sentiment in that direction. You can see Rodgers softening up his stance in conversations. He's been, you know, talking more and being more open on the matter. You know, maybe, I don't know. I just sort of feel like the door has opened more for that. But what if they lose Saturday night? What if, you know, Davante Adams, they are not able to keep him? I mean, those two have become thick as thieves, right? They're a pair. So I can't say with any certainty that Rodgers is guaranteed to be back. I just think there's a higher percentage. But you're right, all those reasons, there's some reason for short-term optimism for the Lions.
There is, and we'll see. It really, it's optimism, and it's the NFL, and you don't get 5 years. You know, people are like, well, they signed an extra year. No, it's the NFL. Your fan base, the media, you get 2 years to get it together, and you need to show real growth, not, hey, we won five games after winning three. Now you can't slow play it. But I like what they're doing, and we'll see, you know, once we get to the games and what they do with their free agent money, if they go grab a top-shelf wide receiver and some defensive help, and now they have a draft that will have three of the, what, first 34 picks, and all the parts are there to be a 9-8 team next year. All right.
Yeah.
This year isn't done yet in the NFL. And Eric Edholm, Yahoo.com, NFL College Football Insider, joining us on the Meyer Guest Line. Who do you like this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's this sort of Cincinnati bandwagon happening, but I still think the Titans are gonna be the better prepared team, right? You got the week off. Derrick Henry's back. Mike Vrabel's coach of the year. I think he's a better coach than Zach Taylor, in my opinion. The Bengals have been an unbelievable story, and they could beat Tennessee, but I'm not going to write off the Titans the way some people are. I mean, they may not be your classic number one seed, but I kind of like Tennessee in a close one there. I think Green Bay takes care of business. I don't think a banged-up Garoppolo has enough to go up there and dice apart the Packers' defense. And you know, if you're going to beat the Packers, you got to have good special teams because that's their biggest weakness by far. The Niners do not. Kyle Shanahan could end up firing his buddy of 20-plus years who coaches that group at the end of the year. So as great as Debo and Kittle and those guys are, I just don't see a great path to victory or a lot of different paths. So I think Green Bay wins that one. You know, in the night game Sunday, I mean, that's the big one, obviously, with – I'm sticking with Buffalo. They were my Super Bowl, AFC Super Bowl pick in August. You know, I went through the ups and downs this season, and just the way they've played since basically halftime of the Tampa Bay game, I think has been pretty pretty incredible. The early Sunday game is the one that I'm having the hardest time deciding on. I worry about Brady's protection. I worry about the high-end talent of the Rams. You know, Von Miller's heating up. Stafford had a great game last week. OBJ's put himself in a position to cash in again. You know, we know what Aaron Donald can do, Cooper Kupp. But, it's Tom Brady against Matthew Stafford. I mean, that's what it, you know, it's hard to pick against Brady. I do think the Rams will have a chance. I have a real hard time picking a winner there.
He doesn't have a hard time analyzing college football in the NFL. Eric at homeyahoo.com. Good stuff here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, Eric, get home joining us.